Welcome back to the show for caregivers, about caregivers, hosted by a caregiver. We are in this love together. We picked that out specifically for our guest today.
Well, and also that we like rock organs.
Well, and we like Al Jarreau.
Yeah, I mean.
But I love that because that's the song for caregivers. We're in this love together. And we do what we do for love. We do this. We put ourselves between a vulnerable loved one and disaster every single day. And it's not an easy thing to do. And you have to plan, as I said in the last segment, you have to plan for getting through this. And then if in the event something happens to you, you also have to make plans. Have you? I mean, are you assuming that you're going to outlive your loved one just because they're disabled? That's a very, very frightening thing to do. Because I'm seeing the stress on caregivers now that's eating them up, and they're stroking out, they're having their own issues. Do you have some type of mechanism in place? And for those of you who are caring for aging parents, and you're seeing how much this costs, are you ready to go ahead and put that on your children so they can do it for you too? I mean, is this what you want to do with your resources? I didn't think so. So here, write this number down. You ready? 615-490-7052. 615-490-7052. That goes to Blake Dorsett and Eric Berner. They're friends of mine over at Waddell & Reed Financial Planners. It's going to cost a lot of money to take care of you at some point. If you love somebody, you're going to be a caregiver. If you live long enough, you're going to need one. How have you planned for this? Sit down with them. Let them look at what you got. Talk to them. Do not wait on this. Please, please. You're seeing how difficult this is. Are you going to make somebody else do this on your behalf? Is this what you want to do? There are ways around that. You can plan for this. You can make provisions for this, but you got to make the call today, 615-490-7052. All right. We are here in the studio live with a dear, dear lady, and I am really thrilled to have you here. So I want you to welcome. We don't have like an applause or studio audience or anything.
I really should get something really cheesy for our live studio audience.
Yeah, our live studio. I can't welcome you with any kind of aplomb or any kind of whatever, but Lynn Husband is here with us. Now, Lynn, you've been a counselor here in Nashville for a long time.
Yes.
How many years you've been? I don't want to ask how old you are. I'm just asking how many years you've been a counselor.
Okay. In private practice, about 20 years.
That's long enough to see some challenging situations.
Yes, indeed it has.
But there's a specific reason that you're on the show today is not only you bring this wealth of wisdom from your private practice and your own journey in that helping people put their lives back together or manage some difficult times, but you're dealing with this yourself.
Right.
This is not something that is alien to you. You're having to deal with some hard realities as your husband has become sick. Now, can you talk a little bit about that? And look, this is a caregiver-friendly show. You share as much as you want to share or as little as you want to share. We'll make up the difference and we'll make John say something if we need to.
Okay.
So tell us a little bit of your story, Lynn.
Okay. Well, my husband has been diagnosed with Parkinson's disease for about 20 years now. He was very slow progressing, which we are grateful for every day. But about 10 years ago, he really hit the area, the place in his progression that he had to retire, and we had to come to terms with it. I can remember going that when we first got a diagnosed, we went to a Parkinson's kind of support meeting. And it was so depressing, we thought, well, let's just wait until it gets to that point. So about 10 years later, that's when we began to really deal with the progression of it. And he had to retire. He couldn't keep up the pace. And
did he have to stop driving at that same time?
He had not quite stopped driving, but it wasn't too long after that. We got that big notice, so to speak, when we were driving on the interstate on a trip at Thanksgiving, and we were coming around a curve, and I mean, the traffic was stopped. And I know there was an angel standing between the car in front of us and ours, because we got within probably a half an inch.
Another coat of paint, and you'd have hit him.
Another coat of paint, and it'd been over with, yeah.
Well, that was enough to settle the driving issue then.
Absolutely. At least on the interstate, he continued to drive a little bit around within the area where we live and familiar places. But several years ago, after he had his deep brain stimulation surgery and his walking was affected and his speech and all that was affected, he couldn't manage a car. So,
all right, so here you are. You've got a private practice.
Yes.
And now your children are grown.
Yes.
And you're dealing with this now on a level. This is where it starts to get fun. This is those vows that we make up in front of a preacher a long time ago and start to come to the surface. Yes, they are. And this is in sickness and health. And
yeah.
And by the way, I hear that you two are getting ready to celebrate a 50-year anniversary.
Yes, we are.
50 yeah. years. That's yeah. next month?
Next month. Uh-huh.
How yeah. about that? Yeah. John, do you have anything for that?
Man, hang on.
Miracles happen.
50 years. I mean, that's extraordinary in this day and age.
Yeah.
And now you're faced with some hard realities. As a counselor, you know a lot of the stuff. I mean, you could objectively say it, but you can't be objective in this very well, very easily. You
right.
can be, but it's not easy to do.
Exactly.
How, take me through a little bit of the drama here of how, or the path of how this has changed the way you counsel. How has this changed your practice and the way you discuss these things with your clients and so forth because of what you're going through in your own life?
Well, I think definitely I can be even more empathic with them that to understand, especially those that I do counsel who have aging parents and they become the caregivers and being able to know exactly, you know, you kind of know and you know how to, as a counselor, to help them know how to take care of themselves. And I think one of the most important things there is to help adult children of elderly parents that did not have good relationships with their parents at all, that their parents were difficult, and to help them know how to caregive and to take care of themselves.
Well, you bring up an interesting point because what's happening, I'm finding a lot, is you had these fractured relationships, mm-hmm. the family.
Exactly.
And then all of a sudden mom or dad or both mm-hmm. become very sick, and then these adult children now are put in a position where they've got unresolved issues, but they're having to do some very intimate and personal things
right.
and deal with this with somebody that they really don't want to be around.
Exactly.
And that's pretty rough.
Yeah.
And I could see where I was thinking about when you were talking about empathic as a counselor. I was – Gracie and I, we've been raised by a pack of therapists, you know, and we've been to so many of them. And we've had two that I know of that got divorced. And we had one pastor that we went to that left the ministry. Now, I don't know that we had anything to do with that, John, and I don't appreciate the insinuation. But
I was just giving you the side eye through the glass, man. I mean.
But we thought – because we went to a lot of counselors early on in this stuff, and nobody really could – really understood the journey of that we were going to as counselors very well, or very few of them did, of what it was like to have a situation with this level of intensity.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're finding, because, of course, we've been doing this for a while, so things have changed in the counseling industry, but now you're finding more and more people are aware of this, that when you put yourself between disaster and a loved one,
mm-hmm.
it creates a certain set of dynamics in you.
Absolutely.
And so you're seeing this now. You're seeing the people Absolutely. Starting to come in, and they're dealing with mom and dad, and they've got unresolved issues. Or I was talking to a lady the other day, and she was taking care of her dad with Alzheimer's,
mm-hmm.
and he gets angry at times and rages out.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still the same voice of her precious dad. And I've known this man for 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful, godly man. But he's gone. His mind is gone.
Right.
And the juxtaposition of listening to that voice
mm-hmm.
saying and doing the things he's doing
mm-hmm.
is heartbreaking to her.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just heartbreaking. And you've got to have a safe place to dump that.
Absolutely.
So that you yeah. can do it. And this is what you're seeing.
Right. And when that happens in particular, when there has been a good relationship – and then if it's Alzheimer's or whatever it is, what I encourage them to consider, remember, remind themselves of, That is not Dad talking. That is his disease.
That's the disease. That is exactly right. Yeah. Well, listen, we're at the bottom of the hour. We're going to come back, and I've got a couple more things we're going to hit you up with. I want to just we'll bleed you dry here, Lynn.
All right.
So this is Peter Rosenberger. If you want to be on the show, if you got any questions, comment, if you want to call in or cry, laugh, cut up, ask a joke, stump the band, whatever you want, we're always here for you. 615-737-9522. But don't go away. We'll be right back.
I'm Gracie Rosenberger. Nearly 20 years ago, I walked for the first time on two artificial legs, and I'll never forget that day. That day, I not only walked, but I happened to see a documentary about Princess Diana's work with amputees in Southeast Asia. Watching her with people who now looked just like me, I knew in my heart God was calling me to reach fellow amputees with practical help through prosthetic limbs and the life-changing message of the gospel. Since 2005, we've done just that through Standing with Hope. It's the Evangelical Prosthetic Limb Outreach my husband Peter and I founded. By training and equipping local workers in developing countries, we are changing lives one leg at a time. We also collect used limbs, and we work with inmates at a local prison. They volunteer to disassemble the limbs in order to recycle the usable parts. A woman with a broken body working with broken lives in a prison. To reach other broken lives in order to point to the one who was broken for us. That's what's happening every day at Standing with Hope. And we invite you to participate with us. Go to standingwithhope.com, please, and learn how you can get involved. I'm Gracie Rosenberger, and by God's grace, I am Standing with Hope.
For more information, visit standingwithhope.com.
My dreams, I've kissed your lips a thousand times.
A little Lionel Richie there, John. I don't think you've ever played Lionel Richie on this.
I have never played Lionel Richie.
This is a hello, good song for caregivers.
Is it me you?
It's a song for lonely caregivers.
Man, it's rough sometimes.
It is a very difficult thing that you're doing, to look at somebody and they can't look back at you. To look at somebody and they can't engage with you in the way that you wish they could and in the way that they wish they could. You know, and that's a hard thing. And that's why we do this show here, because we understand that here. We really do. And we know that if you're listening in, and particularly those of you regular listeners, you know the theme of this show. You know what we're about here. We're here for you. A lot of people focus on the patient, but who's looking at the person pushing the wheelchair? Who's looking at the person standing in the corner of the hospital room? Who's looking at the person doing all the laundry and doing all the grocery shopping and staying awake late at night and then getting up early in the morning, doing it all over again? I thought about writing the Caregiver Blues after B.B. King died this week, and I thought, I'd write a blues song about the Caregiver Blues.
We'll
play it here. But
I'll help you out with that 1-4-5 chord progression.
And God bless you for it, John.
You're welcome.
God bless you for it. Hey, listen, welcome back to the show. I've got Lynn Husband here in the studio with me. She's been a counselor here in Middle Tennessee area. You, just Nashville, or do you Middle Tennessee?
Middle Tennessee mainly, but I get them from all around.
The Middle East?
Alabama, Atlanta.
Not the Middle East.
No, not the Middle East.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
That's all right. She's on retainer with Guantanamo Bay. And then but your husband's had Parkinson's for many years, and it's been progressing pretty significantly in the last 5 to 10 years.
Yes.
Well, you're a woman of deep faith.
Yes.
Now, you'll be pleased to know this. I was talking to my pastor, one of my pastors, about you coming on the show. He said, "Oh, I've just heard great things about her." That's always good to hear. And as a counselor, and how has this changed your faith? How's your faith been affected by all this?
It's deepened it, quite frankly, because every day I get up at 5 o'clock and spend that time with the Lord, because I have to have it, and I just totally, totally depend on the Lord being present and knowing what that means. It doesn't mean we're not going to go through hard times, but it's kind of like we'll come out of the furnace maybe without a smell of smoke. But I'd completely, without it, somebody would be caretaking me.
How have you watched now that your radar is up on this, as the church ministers to folks? Because see, you get a lot of referral business from pastors and so forth. I mean, you've treated people that are going through this, and how it, you don't have to name any particular churches or anything, but I know that your antenna's up now about this, and you're seeing this thing. Oh, wait a minute, what's going on with this? And you're having to clean up a little bit of carnage that's going on. Watching this unfold, and you're seeing things that you didn't used to see before, as you've seen where the gaps are now, and how we as Christians are ministering to each other through the through the church, how pastors are scrambling to deal with this, or maybe they're not even dealing with it at all.
Yeah. Well, I would say overall, I don't see the churches rallying. I'm pretty close to quite a few churches in the area just because I know people and pastors in different churches, and I don't see that they know really what to do with it or aren't doing anything with it. We moved to a smaller church, so we would have community, and they have really rallied beautifully. But I would say perhaps the bigger churches, and I'm speaking generally, just don't have that kind of support within the church that I have experienced. Individually, there are a few pastors that have been very, very, very supportive to us and prayed for us and been there if we needed them. But generally speaking, you know, that's here and there. And as you know, frequency is really important. And
Well, we become so isolated.
Yes.
And if we lose that community, then it becomes difficult for us to make good decisions. I know I have, mine has, over the years of going through this. Has your theology changed in a dramatic way? Or have you seen any changes in the way you look at things? Or you know, in some cases, I used to, people ask me if I ever got angry at God.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I did. I was just a seething pile of rage at times, and I went through that phase. But there's a point where you just, it becomes tedious to get angry about it.
Right.
I mean, you know, after how long can you maintain that?
Right.
And I've seen people that are real bitter and angry, but I've never seen people do it for as long as I'm doing that, maintain that, because how long can you do that? I mean, you just cannot maintain that level of energy to be angry about it. It's just, okay, it is what it is.
Well, and I think that's it. You know, life does happen. And it doesn't, you know, there's nowhere in the Word that says he's going to rescue us. And in fact, it's not about necessarily our comfort here on earth. And so you just come to terms with that. But yet, I have experienced the Lord in his presence being there in ways that you just wouldn't even think about. And that's really on a very personal kind of day-to-day basis.
Well, I thought in my case, I've shifted from rescuing grace to sustaining grace, if that makes sense. And let me explain that for those of you listening. That sometimes I think we spend a lot of time, or as caregivers, I know I did, you know, just praying for bailouts. I mean, just God, get me out of this, get me out of this, get me out of this. That prayer for me changed over time to God, sustain me in this.
Yeah.
And give me strength for today, bright hope for tomorrow, as opposed to, you know, and then once I started shifting that in my own mind, then I started seeing so many ministers on television and other places that were just kept doing that. You're going to get your breakthrough. You're going to get your breakthrough. There's that victory moment is coming and all this. And I thought, man, that's kind of crap.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
Can I say that on the air, John?
You totally can, because it's absolutely accurate.
You know, I mean, I thought we're not doing a service for some of these folks. We're not really we keep leading them with that carrot in front of them, and that's almost torture to these people who are going through things that are not going to change in this life. Gracie's legs are not going to grow back.
Right. Right.
But I'd stop being. I couldn't maintain the level of anger I had at church folk and God and everything else about that, because I was just, it wasn't fair to inflict that on them. And I had a friend of mine tell me one time, he said, Peter, you can't expect them to be where you are.
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm. But on the flip side, I came to understand that I couldn't expect myself to be where they are.
Right.
And I had to put some buffers in there.
Mm-hmm.
Are you seeing that in your practice and in your own life, that you realize, okay, I'm way down this road here, and I'm dealing with this, and I have to keep some detachment here, because if I get too embroiled in this, mm-hmm. it's not going to be healthy for me.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. That there has to be some, as you said, detachment.
And I'm talking about detachment from people's bad theology,
right? You know, exactly.
Because there's a lot of that out there.
Right, exactly. But yes, because on a day-to-day basis, when you're walking it out, and I am a believer in supernatural healing and everything else, but at the same time, you have to know that God's will and the way His love is expressed is just not always the way we think about it. And
well, and I was thinking about it on the way over here with you, and Job 2:13. Now, John, do you know what Job 2:13 says?
Job is my favorite book of the Bible.
And but I know you've only memorized it in the Hebrew. But for those of you who don't speak Hebrew fluently.
Right. I got a little bit of the Greek.
Well, that's the Septuagint, John.
Right.
The Vulgate, of course, is in Latin. Well, just to let you know that I can.
Hey, look, I grew up Catholic. The Vulgate, that's the one, the one you go to, man.
I remember one time I was at a church and they said, look, we read the King James Bible here. Is that a problem for you? And I said, well, if it's okay with Apostle Paul, it's okay with me. And they didn't think it was nearly as funny as I did. But in Job 2:13, one of the things I learned, this is the life lesson. I wanted to share this with you. And by the way, there's no planning goes on here whatsoever. And Lynn will attest to that now.
I'm going to need you to define planning.
we have no planning. And we'll come back on this in the break. But I want to tell you about this real quick. Job went through this horrific set of circumstances that his friends were just aghast by. Mm-hmm. And they came and they sat with him. And at the end of chapter 2, verse 13, they'd sat there with him in silence for 7 days. And I thought, that's how you do it. Mm-hmm. Really, if you look at the book of Job, the wheels didn't come off theologically for all these guys until they started talking. Mm-hmm. And then I realized that's mm-hmm. what we can do as Christians. Sometimes it's okay for us to just sit.
Just
we're never going to know some of these things until we get to heaven. Then it won't even matter.
Right.
But exactly. In the meantime, if we try to sit there, there's no comfort in explaining why. I could tell you the science of why your husband's going through what he's going through. I could tell you the science of why Gracie's going. And that doesn't bring us any comfort
right.
to know why. The comfort comes from the companionship in it.
Amen. Yeah.
And this is what I hear you say that you're seeing now that you're doing is that companionship that we have in it, but it's healthy companionship.
Absolutely.
So we're going to talk about that when we come back from the break. We're here with Lynn Husband. If you want to give us a call, 615-737-9522. This is Peter Rosenberger taking us out to the very cool sound of Chris Latham and the band. They're over in the corner. They're rocking. They're feeling good.
Finally came back from their smoke break, man. Musicians, what are you going to do?
We'll be right back. This is Peter Rosenberger.
I'm Gracie Rosenberger. Nearly 20 years ago, I walked for the first time on 2 artificial legs, and I'll never forget that day. That day, I not only walked, but I happened to see a documentary about Princess Diana's work with amputees in Southeast Asia. Watching her with people who now looked just like me, I knew in my heart God was calling me to reach fellow amputees with practical help through prosthetic limbs and the life-changing message of the gospel. Since 2005, we've done just that through Standing with Hope. It's the Evangelical Prosthetic Limb Outreach my husband Peter and I founded. By training and equipping local workers in developing countries, we are changing lives one leg at a time. We also collect used limbs and we work with inmates at a local prison. They volunteer to disassemble the limbs in order to recycle the usable parts. A woman with a broken body working with broken lives in a prison to reach other broken lives in order to point to the one who was broken for us. That's what's happening every day at Standing with Hope. And we invite you to participate with us. Go to standingwithhope.com, please, and learn how you can get involved. I'm Gracie Rosenberger, and by God's grace, I am Standing with Hope.
For more information, visit standingwithhope.com.
Barry White.
I thought this was Luther.
No, this is Barry.
Is this Barry?
You should not have illuminated your ignorance on this. We would have thought you were the Count of Monte Disco no matter what.
I don't care. I think I'm doing this for you.
Welcome back to the show for caregivers about caregivers, hosted by a caregiver. If it's related to being a caregiver, we're talking about it. If you're feeling it, we've discussed it. And no, we're not disgusting. We've discussed it.
I think that's a separate issue that we really should deal with on off air.
Well, we're in the studio here live with me is Lynn Husband, a longtime counselor here in Nashville, who's also a caregiver. And she's dealing with this in her own journey. And we do a thing here, Lynn, the last segment a lot of times, what I call the lightning round. We bring out the scroll of topics or suggestions or whatever that John does, but
giant Torah-like device.
it's like the Talmud, but it's but we bring it out and John just picks a topic and throws it at me, uh-huh. and then we talk about it. I'm going to do that to you. I'm going to bring out the scroll of suggestions, and I'm just going to throw out a couple of topics, and I just want I know you've read my book.
Yes.
And you like my book, and that's very nice. That's a shameless plug.
I love his book. I use it as a devotion every day. It's really uplifting.
Well, that's what we call a shameless plug setup.
And where can you buy your book, Peter?
Wherever books are sold. You know, by the way, we got up to we were at number one on Kindle for caregiving books recently, last month. And then we kind of, you know, dipped down a little bit and then back up again to number two yesterday. Mm-hmm. And so we're firing out there. So you go Amazon, yeah. Barnes & Noble, Lifeway, Logos and Green Hills. Is that where you –
I got mine.
Yeah, Logos and Green Hills, my friend.
Because we like local businesses, you guys.
I do. And by the way, Ken and Cindy Najar over there at Logos, 615-297-5388. I go to church with them.
Oh, do you?
Okay. Oh, I just love them.
In fact, I want to tell you, I got several and gave them to other friends who are caregivers.
Well, thank you for that. All right. Now, don't necessarily quote from my book. I want to hear your thoughts on this, too, because this is just the lightning round. So I'm going to throw out a couple things. Fear.
All the time.
How do you deal with it?
Well, that's where I really depend on the Lord. I pray a lot. And I, being a counselor, know how to help calm myself down because that's a lot of what I help other people do is calm themselves down because stress is out of control out there. And but calming and being able to get myself just in a much better state of mind because that can eat your lunch.
You know, it says so many times in Scripture, fear not, fret not, fear not.
Yeah.
Fret not. I used to think that was a commandment against playing the guitar, but I learned it was not. That's a very inside joke. Some of you will get it. The rest of you will throw produce.
Why aren't you playing an upright bass, though?
Fret not. But he knows. He knows we're scared spitless.
Right.
All right. So, obligation.
Well, I think I was born with that. I think that's a gene of mine, I suppose.
But so, that's the way we caregivers are. We're kind of wired that way, aren't we?
Right. And I would say along with obligation that just even absorbs that is a huge dose of responsibility that, you know, got to be responsible for everything and get it done perfectly and all that good stuff.
And we're managing the universe by ourselves.
Amen.
And guilt.
Oh, yeah. Well, sometimes if I think of doing things for myself or being away, even think of being away from him to any great degree, I just don't do that. Never have, though. But in our marriage, we've never spent that much time away from each other. And so I'm not one of these girls trips persons, I guess because of guilt. But, I have to really manage that as well.
Do you find what you say to yourself as a counselor – and then just as an individual who's taking care of her husband, do they match up?
Well, actually, they do. I learned, and I'm really grateful for that, because if I didn't have this counseling as a part of my life, I wouldn't have had a clue, and I'd have been a bigger mess than I am now. So,
all right. I'm gonna throw out a phrase to you.
Okay.
This is one I tell a lot of folks. They're not doing it to you. They're just doing it.
Yeah. Yes.
What does that say to you?
What that says to me is they can't help it. It's what they it's goes along with what their physical condition is about. They just do it, and even though at times it may feel like it is to us, it isn't. You're absolutely right.
How does that help you personally when you realize it's just not about you.
For sure, it helps to keep down any resentment, and which could certainly get into full-blown bitterness, because when it feels like that you're a victim, that just doesn't work with caregiving.
Well, and resentment was going to be my next word, mm-hmm. because that's a tough one that mm-hmm. caregivers deal with.
Mm-hmm.
Go back to those adult children taking care of aging parents, and they resent the very person they're taking mm-hmm. care of. And I tell people it's like trying to push a wheelchair with clenched fist.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can't do it. To talk about resentment.
That I would say with the people that I work counsel with in regard to aging parents, that's the one thing I really have to work hard with them on. And that's where I tell them it's okay to set a boundary. It's okay to take care of themselves, that they can make sure their parents are getting taken care of. They just don't always have to be the one doing it. And so that they have to find their space and their way of taking care of them so that they don't feel resentment. That's the one thing that I really work hard with them so that they don't move into that.
What are specific things from Scripture to help walk people through resentment? I'm putting you on the spot here a little bit, but things that come to your mind as you've walked through these things yourself or are helping others from our Christian faith of resentment and dealing with that issue.
Mm-hmm. Well,
anything come to mind on that?
Well, in one sense, I'll take it back to more of my counseling, but you'll see where it enters into, of course, the Scriptures, is resentment comes out of unresolved hurt. And so to be able to get any hurt that's been caused, especially between, it doesn't necessarily mean that they deal with it with the other person, but that they work on the hurt.
Right, because they may not be able to deal with it.
Exactly.
The person may not be responsive anymore, or with Alzheimer's, they're not there.
Exactly.
So yeah. Now they've got this big pile of resentment that they can't resolve.
Right, exactly.
And so you help them. How walk me through that detangling process.
Okay. Well, I think that this is a two-sided thing, because we hear so much in church and in the Scriptures about forgiveness. And forgiveness is, of course, necessary. It is a choice. But what I help people to understand is the other side of forgiveness is pain. That the reason I even need to forgive someone is because someone's caused me pain. And so to choose to forgive, but at the same time know that to recognize and own their own pain, where all of that's concerned, and that's what we spend time is helping that person be able to work through the pain. We call it the repairing their own hearts, repairing their hearts. And, you know, and Jesus, I use this a lot with clients. I'll say, you have to remember the second commandment to, well, if we don't love ourselves because there's so much pain and so forth in there, we're not going to love others well. So it's not selfish to consider our own hearts and to deal with whatever's there that we need to work through to get free of so that we can truly love
with
others
a clean
well.
Heart.
Irregardless of, I would say, maybe in particular, those that we're giving care to, especially if there has been the hurt and the pain between them.
Well, and I that brings me to another statement I heard the other day. Forgiveness can happen fairly quickly. Healing takes a long time.
Absolutely.
You can make the decision mm-hmm. to forgive, mm-hmm. but healing takes a while. And I think that a lot of people somehow think that when we forgive, they think that we're going to that means we have to act like it didn't matter.
Right.
Well, it does matter.
It does matter.
And you can keep boundaries.
Absolutely.
And so that brings me to that last little piece here, because we're going to run out of time and John's going to throw us out of here. But it's boundaries.
Yes.
Boundaries are not bad.
Jesus had boundaries. He confronted Peter. He confronted his own mother. He confronted who he needed to, or he pulled away. He had his healthy boundaries.
And we're not punishing somebody by having a boundary with them. But I think in a caregiver situation, we lose that perspective, don't we? We become so enmeshed in their life that we lose our own. And this is what I want to go out on today is you because you're going to have to come back, Lynn. Okay. But this want to go out is that boundaries, because this is where it trips caregivers up. We somehow think that it's their well-being at our expense.
Yes, yes. And absolutely not, because I think they have their own set of feelings and so forth in regard to we can overdo it. We can overgive. And they need a little space too, believe it or not.
They got to experience their own experience.
Absolutely.
And this is part of our journey. Well, listen, this has been a great time. We're out of time, and I just love this. Lynn, thank you so much. Lynn Husband has joined us here today, and I'm just grateful. We're going to have this out on the podcast, and you can hear this. You can go to caregiverswithhope.com and see that a little bit later. And thank you. Thank you for being on the show.
Well, thank you for inviting me. I appreciate it.
And Count of Mighty Disco, thank you.
Oh, my pleasure, Peter.
It's always a pleasure. We'll see you all next time. This is Peter Rosenberger. Go to standingwithhope.com for more.
Peter Rosenberger. He's not a preacher, but he's got great hair.